Rachel Ann, if you're listening to this, I swear to God, I don't have a personal problem with you. I'm sure you're really nice. I'm sure if I met you in person, that I would be like, wow, Rachel Ann is really nice, and she gives a lot to this con, and I'm sorry if I'm sometimes coming across as being, like, over the top because I'm pissed off.
It's Fibcast time!
James, Bill, Steve,
Casey,
Sam,
and you're listening to
Ninja Consultant Podcast.
Booyah!
This is part three of the discussion with Allison about the Otakon artist alley policy.
Saying like we don't want to spend a huge amount of time talking about the legality, the non-legality, because though Noah knows much more probably than at least I do, at least in terms of super specifics.
Yeah,
it's not. It's not actually my problem with all this, and B, I really don't want to pretend like I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But although I will say that the thing that has been annoying me is how people portray this as being much more clear cut.
It's not that clear-cut.
It's really not. I mean, like, not only is there next to no case law at all regarding any of this, but also, I mean, like, honestly, we're talking about fan art, and it gets to the point where what counts as fan art, like, what isn't, at some point it's sort of completely arbitrary.
It becomes a very blurry line.
Especially when, I mean, I always bring this up, and I'm sure I'm pissing everybody off, but, I mean, for God's sake, like, a lot of us draw characters from books. There is no visual component to a character, especially from a book that's never been adapted in any other media.
Or a book with no illustrations.
Like, I mean, like, if I'm drawing a picture of Draco fucking Malfoy, like, you know what the description of him is? Pale, pointy-faced guy. Pale, pointy-faced. That's like nothing. So he's got blonde hair.
If you draw a picture of him as he is in the movie, like a portrait...
I would, but see, I never do. I mean, if I was going to draw a picture of Draco Malfoy, it would look nothing like that, Tom Felton.
Yeah.
I mean, but the thing is, like, the only thing that makes that a picture of Draco Malfoy is me saying, oh, that's supposed to be Draco Malfoy.
Well, wasn't he wearing, like, a Hogwarts uniform?
Not necessarily. Not I mean, like, yeah. most of the fan art that I see that's of that kind of thing is just, like, some, you know, skinny blonde guy leaning against a pillar, maybe holding a wand, maybe not. And it's like, it you can't say that that's a clear-cut issue. What makes that clear-cut is if I'm using a trademarked name to describe it. That's the only way in which that is a clear-cut issue. If I'm just putting that on my table and somebody decides it looks like Draco Malfoy, I mean, you know, whatever, man. So, like, you can tell me this is clear-cut until you're blue in the face, but I am totally not buying it.
I think overall in the thread, it was sort of like, Allison, you can tell she's enraged by this whole scandal.
I'm not nearly as enraged as I was before.
Right,
now I'm just kind of irritated.
But you showed a lot of restraint very early on in the thread with your early emails where you're like, I'm upset about this, but I'm going to try and state this as rationally as I can. The replies were horrible. They were
incredibly condescending.
Rachel immediately mistook everything you said as horrible, where she was just like, I can't believe you're personally insulting me in this way. Or...
I mean, you guys feel free to go back and look through the thread and all the give and take.
It might take several days.
But it's worth reading the ridiculous give and take that was that thread, as you can really see the development. It's kind of fascinating. When I was rereading it before this podcast, I was really like, wow, you know, like it's like an archaeological dig. It's like getting down to the bottom of the wank, layer by layer. But I mean, you know, at the end of the day, though, I say this and I totally mean it. My issue with all of this is not actually the policy. You know what? It's their con. If they wanted to say that we can only draw pictures of ponies, that's their business.
That's
it can be an all-pony con.
They were like, pony con.
Yeah, pony con 2006. If they want to turn it... Oh, by the way, we're actually supposed to be calling it The Alley. They have, for reasons unknown, changed the name officially from Artist Alley to
That's the other weird thing.
It's like the WB.
Because
like
that was a few months ago. They announced that it would be changing the name to The Alley kind of to promote other works other than just kind of fan art.
Like minstrels.
So like, Yeah, like if you have your own band and you want to sell their CDs or whatever.
I'm sure the band loves that they can't be included as artists.
Or or like if you do a lot of writing, it's to kind of promote your writing work. But then in a much later part of this, of the Oticon thread and Q&A, someone specifically asked, so can I sell my fan fiction? And Rachel Ann was like, well, I guess not if it incorporates licensed characters.
Which makes it
fiction. No fan fiction. Sorry.
Yeah, so, but if you want to sell your original novel, you can totally do that. And everybody will really care, I swear to God.
Because that's what they went to an anime convention for. Yes, original novels. Your original
and your minstrel show. They really want your minstrel show. Although if somebody did an Inuyasha minstrel show, I would totally watch that. Although, you know, the other thing I really, really want to say explicitly is I think that Jim Vowles, as much as he occasionally said things that made me want to pop his head off, generally, he was really good.
He was really professional.
Yeah, there was one point, the only thing that he said in this entire thread that really pissed me off was at one point, he was, in the attempt to get to the kinder, gentler side of Jim Vowles, he said, well, I own a piece of fan art that features Yakko, Wakko, and Dot Warner, done anime style with anime-niax written on it. That's clearly a parody, even though the character's recognizable. Now, this was in response to, like, what's parody? What's okay? What's not? So this is what he said. And then after that, that's, you know what, fine, if you want to talk about your Yakko Warner anime thing, that's fine. Then he added, stuff like that isn't going away, but just... But the folks who take a still from Yu-Gi-Oh! And Photoshop it are treading on thin ice, and they always have been. Now, Jim Vowles, what's wrong with you? That is not a good contrast to pick.
Not a very good example.
There's such a world of range between your Yakko, between your Warner Brothers Animaniacs picture and, you know, screen cap Yu-Gi-Oh! That... I know that he's trying to be helpful, but I think that was probably the least possible helpful example he could have possibly given. But other than that, I really think Jim Vowles did a good job. I think he spent a lot of time having to clean up after Rachel's insane spaz attacks. Rachel Whalen would go on and say something crazy, and Jim Vowles would be like,
"Well, she would talk about a lot about stop before you do your fan art and consider how the artist might feel."
We're like, I don't actually care, nor is that relevant.
That's not really useful, because in the end, I added my thing.
She's like, why the crackdown? Well, if someone took your original art and characters, copied them, and sold them in Artist Alley at the same time that you did, is that alright? Can I allow that? What do I do if you come to complain to me? Do I say, well, it's fan art, what can you do? How pleased would you be if that was your... how pleased would you be that your art is worth imitating and that it's being sold for a dollar less three tables down?
Really?
What makes your art much more... What makes your art more sacred than Hayao Miyazaki's
Something
or Steve Bennett's? These are rhetorical questions, by the way.
Last
you know what, Rachel Ann? That is so retarded!
Like, last I checked, imitation was the most sincere form of flattery.
I know, you know what? If somebody drew characters from my comic,
oh my god, yeah,
and were selling, I'd be like, can I buy one?
I know, someone drew a picture of me and Noah as ninja consultants and sent it to us as fan art, and that made my day.
Thank you, by the way.
It made my week.
You even got my tale right.
I wept tears of joy. Like,
yes.
No, seriously, like, that's the greatest thing ever. And, like, what it said in Carl Horn's email, like, Shonen Jump, one way they tell how popular their characters are is by seeing how many people are drawing them. Oh, it's an indication of popularity.
And, I mean, so, point one... retarded. Point two, this is completely useless conversation. This doesn't contribute anything to the actual issue. I don't care. Feelings have no place in this conversation, and I feel stupid for saying this because I'm always talking about
I guess you can sue someone for defamation of character, but it's not really the same as how an artist feels about how does that artist... Well, it's more like, how does the artist lawyer feel? The licensor who paid thousands of dollars...
What actually matters is, how would you feel if you paid somebody $10,000 to make a Yu-Gi-Oh! Pin, and somebody else sold a Yu-Gi-Oh! Pin that was probably better than yours for a dollar less? No. Like, that maybe I could buy that particular moral argument.
Yeah, I'd feel ripped off.
Now I'm confused.
Okay.
Because if you don't want to talk about the legality of it, and you don't want to talk about the morality of it, and you don't want to talk about the touchy-feeliness of it.
You know what I want to talk about? You know what I want them to talk about? What I want,
we're
Rachel
talk about-
frickin' Ann, hi Ann, you know what I want her to say? I want her to say, this is the policy. Do you have any questions? And then if I ask a question, I want her to answer that question.
Professionally.
And if I ask her, what is the reason for this policy, she can say, I personally didn't feel comfortable with what was going on. and the con doesn't want to be liable, and leave it at that. Yeah. And that's if I ask. If I'm like, tell me why you decided to do this, feel free to explain your personal reason for why you did this. But other than that, you know, it doesn't have any place in this in a Q&A thread about lecturing me on the fact that what I'm doing is making baby Jesus cry does not have anything to do with running a con. That has to do with pissing me off, and it's not useful. Like, it's just, it has no place in this
thread. There was an awesome part of the thread where she talked about how cosplayers, their love is pure.
Their love, and AMV creators, right.
Because
their love
they're
is
not,
pure. Because
they're not making any money off of it. And Otakon is paying for the rights to play the music used in the AMVs at the con.
Money is what makes them
paying a performance right.
And so, does that mean that you could then give your art away?
No, you can't. But that was allowed to give art away.
That was one of the more recent Q&A things. They were like, if you give away your 500 Slayers bookmarks, that's not cool.
You're still competing with poor Mr. Bookmark Seller.
I would say, just on the face of it, this discussion is useful for her because she's actually trying to piss you off. I'm not joking. I really do think that this is the case, that this was done deliberately to stir controversy, and that she's getting off on your anger.
She's saying, like, this is the difference. There is a difference between fan art and commercial art. The difference is why it was created for love or money.
So,
it's like, oh, it doesn't matter why we're creating it.
So it's the intention. Oh,
a troll is on the internet, right?
Yes. She's like a reverse troll.
No, I think that there's nothing reverse about it.
Well,
a
troll comes into a forum that somebody else has
placed. It's like an outsider.
And starts shit. She's bringing you into her place. And with the lulling you into the sense that you were actually having some kind of conversation that might be useful, and then she's starting shit.
In truth, it's not her place, is it?
Well,
wait, what's
that?
Wait,
what's
that?
In truth, it's this forum is not her place.
Well this particular part of it is
because she's running the Artist Alley.
Yeah, she's the head of Artist Alley.
I mean, you know, I wrote her an email in which I said, and like, I went in and I was like, Rachel Ann, I am really sorry if what I was saying came. I'm sounding more personal than I mean to in this podcast. I mean, honestly, I don't know Rachel Ann. I'm sure she's a very nice lady. I'm tapping. I'm sure she's a really nice lady. And she's like what? She's late middle aged or something.
Yeah,
like, you know, I'm sure that part of this also is like a vaguely old fashioned attitude. Like, Rachel Ann, if you're listening to this, I swear to God, I don't have a personal problem with you. I'm sure you're really nice. I'm sure if I met you in person, that I would be like, wow, Rachel Ann is really nice and she gives a lot to this con, and I'm sorry if I'm sometimes coming across as being, like, over the top because I'm pissed off. But putting that aside, oh my god, Rachel Ann is running this so unprofessionally, it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. She's running this like this is her personal blog in which she and her group of sycophants are talking about, like, just a giant wank circle about how fan art totally sucks and we should all be drawing original pictures of ponies instead of fan pictures
of ponies.
Except
for My Little Ponies, yeah.
Yeah, and what's she's pissing me off professionally. Like, me as a person who would possibly buy a table at her con, she is pissing me off. Because we are paying money for this. It's not like she's, like, allowing us to show up at her private party. We're paying for the privilege of having a table. The least she can do is treat this professionally. Because a lot of people, this is a professional thing for them. Like, they invest a lot of money in buying the table and producing this stuff, whatever it is they're going to sell.
And really, because it's gone on for 10 years, it's really created a community of artists. There are people who I only see at Artist Alley at Otakon every year. And I'm glad to feel like I've been a part of that I'm participating with these other artists. And it's very encouraging when you meet other people who draw things on a non-professional level to be like, wow, I really like this person's work. They're drawing things that I enjoy. It makes me want to draw, too. It kind of fosters a community of artists that America lacks of, like, you know, animated manga style artists or, indeed, just regular comic book artists. It's what Carl Horn was talking about. Japan is like, we would like to see works which American comic art, you know, Americans are producing. Let's see what their American doujin looks like of our stuff. Because I've seen, like, Japanese doujin of American stuff. It's really great. Like, Spider-Man doujin or Teen Titans. Like, Teen Titans Japanese art. Powerpuff Girls in Japanese art. Powerpuff Girls is huge over there.
Yeah, you know,
it's great to see that. He kind of hits on that in his message where there's no language barrier there when it's just art. It's an immediate communication between two cultures where you're...
And the Japanese creators love this shit. In fact, every single person I have personally... every creator that I have personally had any interaction with...
Yeah.
thinks fan art is totally awesome. I mean, like, I know writers, I know, I mean...
Indeed, you
in
could
my
say...
Secret, in my secret job that I'm not allowed to talk about, the creator of the show that I secretly work on,
yeah.
thinks fan art is awesome, and in fact, will send emails around being like, dude, check this out! And, like, legally, yeah, he's totally not supposed to be looking at it, which is one of the reasons we're not going to mention what we're talking
right.
about.
But we sit around the office and we look up, you know, fan art of the show that we work on, because we want to know...
For every Anne Rice who freaks out about how fan work is going to...
Destroy her life.
Destroy her entire life. There are 99 million other professionals who are like, as long as you're not pretending that you're me, or drawing anything that is blatantly offensive, you know, like disemboweled babies or something. they either think it's great or they're neutral toward it.
Right.
And they don't want you to be turning into a giant commercial enterprise, but, like, they have no problem with this. And so all of this... talking about how we should consider the feelings of the mangaka. The mangaka want us to do this.
They want you to draw.
I mean, it ultimately isn't important, but if we're gonna go there, yeah. let's go there and say that they are actually all for this and are in fact wondering what the hell is wrong with our lazy asses.
You could well say that the mangaka are creating this art with the explicit understanding that it will be reproduced by the fan.
You know what keeps me going every day? When I'm doing my original stuff, it's feedback, and the ultimate form of feedback is fan art. And I am totally not kidding. Like, you know why you sit there and you draw your frickin' 30-page comic that takes you a bazillion hours until your hands bleed? You draw it so that somebody reads it and they say, oh, that's pretty cool. And yeah. then if somebody takes the time to draw you a picture, you cry with joy, even if it's a totally crap picture. Like, this crap picture is just for me!
They liked me.
Yay, they liked me enough to draw a crap
so,
drawing.
Like, much later in the thread, and I really held off on weighing in on this issue at all until the official policy was announced. They make a big deal...
Way to back me up, Aaron.
No problem. They make a big point about... Well, I didn't want to, like, be...
No, I know.
I didn't want to be associated with your flaming,
I should have stayed the hell out of there, but I just couldn't...
You couldn't, I know.
I couldn't. It was too blatant, and all the people... all the dissenting views were doing what you were doing, which is probably the smart thing to do, which was discussing it privately. And I was like, somebody has to come in here and stop kissing Rachel Ann's butt.
Well, it was also
or being crazy. Everybody was either being crazy or kissing her
Yeah,
ass.
Another problem was people who did have a dissenting opinion would state it in the most ridiculous, hackneyed leet speak with poor spelling, and it's like...
Researched entirely on some article on Wikipedia.
Or something worse than Wikipedia, where it's like, if you can't spell or form a sentence, could you not be on my side of this argument? Because you're really detracting
Which
from the
intelligent
point I'm trying to make.
Everybody together. Although yeah. they would always mention me specifically.
Well, it's because you're the biggest flamer.
Well, this is the thing that pisses me off, is I was so careful
I know,
to
you
be
tried
rational
so,
and...
You tried so hard. And
the
like,
most
knowing,
emotional I got was when I was like, you know, the thing that's really pissing me off is that when I found out this was your idea, I feel like you're supposed to be representing our interests and you're going behind our backs and doing this stupid shit. And that was the most personal that I got.
Yeah.
Maybe I crossed a line there, and I will admit freely that perhaps I just should have sat and thought about it for a couple days before I responded, but... I don't want to get lumped in with all the illiterate flamers. Who
yeah.
then... Oh, God, and there were all these posts where Jim Bowles is like... Well, like, they would specifically thank people for making posts that were really, like, sycophantic and suck-uppy. Like, it's nice to know thanks for having such a great attitude. And every time they did that, I wanted to reach into the screen and strangle them. Because you know what? You know what creates crappy podcasts and crappy magazines and crappy... You know what creates that? It creates it when you have this circle jerk of feedback where all the people you listen to are people who agree with you and you ignore all of the articulate but dissenting views. Like, you should, of course, ignore the people who come on and they're like, Inuyasha forever!
You
suck sores!
That guy
like,
was awesome.
Yes, you should probably ignore
that guy.
I mean, I want to listen to him, but for entertainment value.
That's right.
Not necessarily for his opinion.
Yeah.
But you have to listen to the people who don't agree with you. And there's so much... The problem with the internet is that there's so many you suck sores people out there
yeah.
that you have this... People will tell you, you can't listen to those people. You have to ignore them. Like, you have to just learn to ignore them. And you know what? Then you start ignoring everything where they don't agree with you. Like, there's a certain podcast that Aaron knows I really, really don't like. For a certain series of books about a certain wizard. And I hate this podcast a lot. And I hate it because it's boring, and they spend a lot of time at the beginning of every show laughing at their own stupid in-jokes.
Do you mean the Muggle cast or the Potter cast?
I'm not going to say what I'm talking about.
Because I know which one I hate.
I might say that I've never listened to the Muggle cast.
We might say that the Muggle cast is the top-rated show on Podcast Alley.
Yes.
Why is that? The podcast is so much better!
The point is that the reason it drives me crazy is because whenever anybody has any constructive criticism at all, like, maybe you should stop referencing things that you talked about before you turn the mic on, laughing hysterically, and then not editing it out afterwards.
Oh, God.
Maybe you should edit your interviews so you cut out the part where, like, Arthur Levine goes, and then repeats himself, like, 5 times. You know what? He'll thank you if you edit that out, because he sounds like an idiot. And I think Arthur Levine is a really intelligent guy, but everybody unedited sounds like a moron.
Yeah,
Now, this is me, sound like a moron. Erin will fix it afterward, hopefully. Or at least out of spite, she decides to leave in
Noah
all
has,
my
Noah has a new non-editing policy.
That's right. This is going up live, actually. We're
internet radio currently.
Because it's not edited, allow me just to say that we're really sorry that we haven't sent anything up because we've been moving. We're now in Brooklyn. Erin didn't want to say anything.
I'll have that up sooner than
they live four blocks away from me. It rocks.
Yeah, so you're going to be hearing a lot more of Allison.
No.
Whether you like it or not.
No. So you're going to get all this hate mail because of me. You're like, your podcast is great except for the freaking Allison shit. She's such a bitch.
I'll just keep forwarding
this. Wine about how much she hates Rachel Ann.
P.S. Inuyasha rules. You suck so hard.
You know, in fact, can we look up what it is that it was? Was it Vash the Stampede and Inuyasha on a chocobo?
Riding a chocobo.
Certainly.
Will you draw that for us?
I really need to draw that. This apparently got picked up by some other people. Like, somebody on another forum was like, well, if you want to draw Vash the Stampede and Inuyasha on a chocobo, then that's fine. But
I think it would sell really well.
I know, and I remember reading that, and like a moron, I'm like, oh, that would be funny. And then I go back and read it, and I'm like, oh, that was me. Whoops.
And while I would not like to draw that, I would like to buy a drawing of it.
I know. I'm going to draw that. I'm going to sell it in Anime Boston. For the record, if you're going to Anime Boston, you want a picture of Vash the Stampede and you guys want a chocobo.
You can commission one or buy a print.
Yeah, come buy a print. I'm going to have it. And I'm going to have Otakon 2006 forever written on it. He should have a sign that says Otakon 2006 or bust. Like,
you should also try and use a logo so it's totally copyright infringing.
I'll talk to you about this after the show.
Also, there should be also the
can you do a version where they're both shirtless?
Yeah, they should also have their penises hanging out.
Oh, no, no, no.
It's also porn.
So you have to see
he's in the chocobo.
No,
we're not an explicit. You should have three versions. One that's the G version where they're clothed. One that's the PG version where they're
shirtless.
Oh,
it should be an acetate so you can lift the different layers off.
And then you can set it to music and enter it in the AMV contest.
Oh, my God.
And then it will demonstrate your pure love.
The pure love!
And then make someone cosplay as that as well, where one the person in the middle is the chocobo.
Oh, my God.
This ends part 3 of the discussion with Allison about the Otakon Artist Alley policy.
This podcast is proudly listed on podcastpickle.com with more features for podcasters and listeners. Truly the best podcasting directory on the internet.
What will happen if you listen to a randomization podcast? Put a quarter in, free jelly beans will come out.
But maybe they're not free.
Because you put a quarter in, maybe you got gypped.
Yeah, listen to our show. Things like this happen on our show. We're going to talk about jelly beans coming out of people's noses next show. And you can listen to it and figure out that, wow, these guys are cool. Yeah.
Because we are in sixth grade.
Sixth grade.
And we're doing a podcast, and it'll probably continue, because next year, we'll be in seventh grade.
Where we could say we're in seventh grade.
If you like sixth graders, if you like anime, if you like manga, if you like gaming, if you like any of that stuff that you used to do in sixth grade, or just a otaku and want to hear what the new otaku has to say, listen to our show. Here, I'm going to give you a secret. I'm going to tell you a secret. Go to www.randomizationpodcast.tk.
Randomizationpodcast.tk.
Hello, my name is Rob, and my podcast is the Teen Opinion Podcast. I'm just going to cut right to the chase and explain the mission statement. The ultimate goal of the Teen Opinion Podcast is to create a formal, intelligent place for teens to express their opinions, as well as rant about teachers and things that affect us. Weekly and religiously, I present the emails and audio opinions of teens, as well as offer some insight of my own. You can find the Teen Opinion Podcast on the very best podcasting directory, Podcast Pickle. Oh, and did I mention the great slew of rock music? For intelligent teen discussion, look no further than the Teen Opinion Podcast.
Let's hear it, boy.